Joining me in the studio now, we have some representatives from the VA Medical Center based in Sioux Falls, but obviously serving a much larger region. We have Dr. Karen Munger. She's research coordinator for the Million Veteran Program. Anna Perry is with us. She is the Visual Impairment Services Team Coordinator. And then we have veteran, U.S. Army veteran Grant Dorothy, Vietnam combat veteran, here with us as well. So first, thank you all for being here with us today. We appreciate your time. Dr. Munger, let's just start with what the Million Veteran Program is. Give us an overview, please.
So the Million Veteran Program is a research program. It was established in 2011, but recently launched here at the Sioux Falls VA in August. This is a research program where the VA is looking to learn more about veterans' genetics and combining that with their healthcare information in order to have serve veterans better with their healthcare. This database, it's called the Million Veteran Program because we want to have a million veterans enrolled. As of this morning, we have 621,557 veterans that are enrolled. And here at the VA, we currently have, 271 have enrolled since August 15th. This program combines genetic information along with health record information, along with lifestyle surveys in the largest database in the world. This is by far the largest genetic database. It is certainly the largest veteran database. It also, in the United States, has the largest database of minority persons. And because the majority of people who have signed up are over the age of 60, one out of three has concern with cancer, some history of cancer. It is really one of the largest registries of cancer survivors or cancer patients and their genetic background.
All right, so let's talk about some of the basics, and maybe we can bring Grant in for this. This is something that you decided to volunteer for. It's on a voluntary basis.
Yes, it is.
How complicated is it to sign up?
It's not complicated at all. They have a coordinator at the VA Medical Center there, and you just stop in, and she can actually get you into the system there, or there is an 800 number for veterans to call if they want to participate. I was one of the first ones to donate, partly because I was aware of the program, because I do volunteer work at the research department there.
Sure.
So, but it probably took maybe 15 minutes, and then you get a survey sent to you in the mail. It maybe takes another 15 minutes, and that's it.
All right.
It's that simple.
Let's talk privacy, Dr. Munger. Everybody's talking about what can be sold and what can be revealed when you offer your genetic information to someone.
This is a real concern, I think, with DNA registries. And DNA, I mean, that's the most personal thing you have is your DNA. And so I certainly understand that the security concerns. That's one of the reasons why I am sort of enthusiastic about the Million Veteran Program. There are many, many levels of security. This is through the VA. The data is stored with the Department of Energy, and there are a whole lot of safeguards that go into protecting this information. There, when you sign up, there is one number that goes with your blood sample, which is the sample where the DNA comes from. That number then is changed once that once it's processed into DNA. Your medical records have yet a third number. So there's three different, completely different numbers that are associated with your record. All of the information is de-identified, in other words, so that there's no name or social security number or other types of things. So once all of the data is compiled, there is really only just a few people who could backtrack it to the original person. So it is also kept behind a very secure security type system. There's just been a lot of effort into trying to keep this as secure as possible. Of course, nothing is 100% when it comes to this, but compared to other DNA registries or other things where you might, you know, send in and get some DNA back from a company, this one is by far, I would say, a lot more secure.
Tell me about the health survey and how you're collecting sort of the, you know, the health information to connect from a research perspective with the genetic information?
So there's two different types of information we're getting. One is from the health records, and the VA has one of the longest standing electronic medical records, longer than many of the other systems. I think, what, maybe 20 years of electronic medical records, something like that. So we have those. But I think what's really interesting are these surveys that Grant talked about. So there are actually two surveys. There's one survey that is fairly small, and then there's another more extensive survey, and these are lifestyle surveys. This is asking you about your exposure to burn pits or Agent Orange. It's also asking about your weight, about types of foods that you eat, a lot of things that probably wouldn't show up in your medical records. So it's medical records plus sort of lifestyle questions plus your the DNA. So I think those, the combination of that is just this huge, huge database that I think that we can get, you know, researchers will be able to get a lot of information from.
Grant, why participate in this? What are you sort of hoping that, you know, obviously you served your country in Vietnam. This is a service as well to you. Do you think that there's potential for...
Well, I think it's a tremendous opportunity to create this database to... help them identify and find cures to a lot of diseases. It may not benefit me, but maybe it'll benefit my children and my grandchildren, some of the findings that they'll get from this research that they're doing. So that's basically the reason I'm doing that. I think it's going to provide a lot of information over time.
Dr. Munger, do you have an idea of how, I mean, how are you personally participating in research through VA? Is that something that you're working on the collection? And then what else is your role?
So right now, my role in this particular program is only the collection. Now, this database, it's hard to imagine how huge this database is, but right. It is massive. And from that, there have been several sort of pilot projects. So what's happening is all of this data is being put together, a lot of the projects are trying to figure out how can we have this database accessible. And the idea is that researchers who want to do a project will be able to access this data, VA researchers, and also people who are outside of the VA but want to participate within this and be able to look at research. So there's several pilot programs that have already started. There's one in post-traumatic stress disorder, risk factors, Gulf War illness, genetics of schizophrenia, genetic vulnerability to substance abuse, heart disease risk, genetics related to heart disease. There's a kidney disease study. All of those are sort of in the alpha and beta projects. Those were ones, and they found some really interesting information on that, and we're just starting to see some publications on that. They've gone into what's the gamma, alpha, beta, gamma, the third phase, and those studies are going to be on diabetes, breast cancer, tinnitus, osteoarthritis, and some suicide. So what's interesting about this is that we can look at not only sort of traditional diseases, I guess, where we think there's a cause and effect, but there's a lot of emphasis also in other things, mental health types of disorders, such as suicide, such as post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury. Those studies are all ongoing at this point. But eventually, this database should be accessible to a lot of researchers. And so any question you might have that would involve maybe a gene or a pairing of very many genes along with environmental factors, that's what we're looking for. Because most diseases that are genetically associated, if it's a simple association, we already know that. So the idea of this is that you might have multiple genes plus multiple environmental factors, and that combination is what could cause a disease. And it's so complicated at this point that it's very hard to tease all of that out. Sure. I think this is where we're going to get those details.
When we talk about, you know, million veterans, and you mentioned the diversity of that pool, I'm thinking male-female makeup might not be as even. Do you have a highly, you know, male database at this point?
Absolutely. That is one of the, I guess, the issues is that it's probably 90% at least male. We're very interested in having any female veterans who are enrolled in the in the process. As you can tell, one of the other projects that's coming up is breast cancer. So there is, there is, you know, there is a real interest in this. And remember, the more people we have in this, the more easier it is to garner data from this. So the population is diverse racially, but it is not as diverse as we would like it to be. As far as gender, and it is also heavily centered on older people, too. So one of the things that the Million Veteran Program wants to implement as we go forward, right now we are enrolling people who are enrolled in the VA healthcare system, but we would also like to expand this, and hopefully this will happen in the next few years, into active duty military. And into veterans who have not enrolled yet. This way we could expand our database, we could get more women involved, and just more people involved in this project.
Grant, we were talking a little bit before we came on the air just about, you know, getting health care at the VA, and you have a lot of really positive things to say about the care that you've received there. What brought you to the door in the first place where you thought this is, you know, was that a challenge for you, or was it an easy...
No, it was very easy. When I first moved to Sioux Falls, I used what then was Sioux Valley. It's become Sanford now. And I knew the VA was there. And I started doing some volunteer work at the VA. And in the process of doing that, I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and start getting my care at the VA. And it was a very easy process. Of course, I was already in the system, had been for years. But it took me less than a month probably to get my first appointment with my primary care physician, and it's been very easy to move on from that. Probably the best thing recently that has helped me is they have an integrative health program there, which is a holistic approach to providing health care. Mm-hmm. And that's helped me tremendously with the chronic pain that I've been dealing with. In fact, the news now is full of the opioid crisis, and they can't take these pain medications away from those of us that have been using them for years without some alternative. Right. And the integrative health program that they have up there, for me at least, has been that alternative. I've gone from taking 3 or 4 hydrocodone a day to none because of the things that I've gotten involved with the integrative health program. So.
I want to bring Anna Perry into the conversation as well, as we sort of broaden the scope to the services that VA offers. And you work with the Low Vision Clinic. Tell me a little bit about what you do at VA.
So I'm what's called a Visual Impairment Services Team Coordinator. I'm a case manager for veterans who are legally blind. I have about 210 veterans on my caseload that I follow, and I can be a link to help them access the VA and also to tell them about the special benefits and services that are offered to blind veterans, which includes our low vision clinic, which opened in 2010 in Sioux Falls. The purpose of our clinic is really to help veterans with vision loss be as independent as they want to be, and help them accomplish any barriers or overcome any barriers they may have related to their vision. So a common scenario is somebody with macular degeneration who can't read the newspaper anymore. They can come to our clinic and be evaluated for different types of technology that can help them read again. And all of that is at no cost to them, which is a wonderful benefit.
So one of the challenges I would think with this would might be even getting, you know, to the services that you need. How do you deal with the fact that, you know, the people that you're serving have another barrier to, you know, getting a ride to the clinic?
Yes, that's definitely transportation is always a challenge. Fortunately, there's a lot of resources that I can draw from. So that's one of the things I do is help veterans who have vision loss and have never come to the VA enroll in the VA. And so I have different systems in place. I use the wonderful veteran service officers that are out there in the counties to help people all over fill out paperwork. We have the DAV transportation vans that can help get people to the VA. And then they have me that they can use as a resource to help them get all the appointments that they need, and also to provide an introduction of everything that might be of benefit to them. So it is well worth the time for veterans with vision loss, in particular, to enroll in the VA, because we have so much to offer them.
What are some of the rewards of working with veterans for you, Anna, as you know, you connect them with the services they need, or you provide them with the ability to, you know, read the newspaper once again? Tell me a little bit about how some of that comes back to you personally and professionally.
I feel very blessed having the position that I have. My father is a Vietnam veteran, and he retired from the VA, so it's been a facility that I've been familiar with for many years. Working with veterans is such an honor. They all are so deserving of the services that we provide, and I have the privilege of being able to tell them about all the benefits and programs that we have that can really change their lives and dramatically improve their quality of life. And that's such a joy and pleasure, and I love my job because of it.
Dr. Munger, let's bring it back to, the genetic research a little bit. And I'm wondering, Grant mentioned, you know, the benefit might never come back to him. It might come back to his children. Are there opportunities for, advances in research or science that will benefit a veteran in their lifetime?
You know, it's hard to say. With any research project, that's sort of the definition of research, is that it may or may not benefit you. We can just look around at some of the other healthcare systems and see how interested everyone is with genomics and how much press we've heard about it, how much, really there's just a lot of effort and money that's going into this. And that's because we see the reality of it, that there could be some benefits, and they could be soon. It is hard to know. It depends, I guess, on what your lifetime is. If it's tomorrow, maybe not. But if your lifetime is a few weeks, a few years, then I think some of these things, I mean, we're already seeing some really interesting things from these studies. And to bring it back, macular degeneration is one of these, is one of the studies that is up and going. And things that you don't even necessarily think could be genetically connected. I would have never thought about macular degeneration as being genetically connected, but there's I think that this gives us the opportunity to look at things that we had never had enough data to look at before. So I think that there's a very real chance that these in the next few years, certainly in the next decade, we will see enormous increases in our ability to treat or diagnose diseases based on genetic influences and lifestyle. I think that's really key. You know, almost everything is a combination of genes and environment.
Right.
And so I think there is some danger in thinking that if you just know your gene profile, you're going to know what's going to happen to you. And it is not a tarot card. It is not a palm reading kind of thing here. You have to have a combination of genes plus environment and plus your lifestyle. And that's those three things together are really what manifest what might happen to you with a disease.
And that's where one of these surveys that we mentioned that they send out is very extensive, lifestyle and environmental questions. They go, it was, some of them I couldn't answer. They were so in-depth. But okay. They're gathering a lot of information about lifestyle, what you eat, how many hours of sleep you get a night, all types of things that have to do with your lifestyle that they're feeding into this research program.
Makes you think just doing the survey about how
maybe I better change some of these things that I'm doing.
Any phone numbers you want to leave us with before we go?
I think the major phone number is, there is an 800 number if you want information about the Million Veteran Program or if you want to make an appointment. The 800 number is 866-441-6075. And if you want to, there's a website, if I could give that to you. The website is www.research.va.gov/MVP. So if you could put that up on your website, that
would
be great.
We'll put a link up on listen.sdpb.org after the program. Dr. Karen Munger, Anna Perry, Grant Dorothy, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.